वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुतीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टके। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 10, Text 22, entitled The Nature of Fruitive Activity. Andarayer avihito yadi dharmaha so anishtita tenapi nirjitam sthanam yadha gacchati ृणु अंतरायैरविहितो यदि धर्मस्वनिष्ठिता तेनाभिनिर्जितं स्थानं यदा गच्छति तच्छृणु अंतरायैरविहितो यदि धर्मस्वनिष्ठिता तेनाभिनिर्जितं स्थानं यदा गच्छति तच्छृणु अन्तरायैरविहितो यदि धर्म सुनिष्ठिता तेनाभिनिर्जितं स्थानं यदा गच्छति तच्छृणु। Matajis. Andaraye, by obstacles and discrepancies, avihita, not affected, yadi, if dharma, one's execution of regulated duties according to Vedic injunctions. So anushtita, excellently performed, tena, by that, api, even, nirjitam, accomplished, sthanam, status, yatha, the manner in which, gacchati, it perishes, tat, that, shrunu, please hear. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: if one performs Vedic sacrifices and fruity rituals without any mistake or contamination, one will achieve a heavenly situation in the next life. But even this result, which is only achieved by perfect performance of fruity rituals, will be vanquished by time. Now, hear of this. Purport: the word gacchati means going. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states, agama payino nitya. All material experiences, good or bad, come and go. Therefore, the word gacchati refers to the disappearance of the results of even the most meticulously performed fruity sacrifices. Any material situation from the worst to the best is imperfect. Thus, one should strive only for the pure Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamahyam Tatadiswapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rukunata Nitam Tam Sujivam Sadvaidam Savadudam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patidanam Bhavanebhyo Vishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhudale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Idinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Guru Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Andaraye Rabhito, Yidhi Dharma Sunishtita, Tenavi Nirjitam Stanam, Yadha Gacchati Tatshrinam. If one performs Vedic sacrifices and fruity rituals without any mistake or contamination, one will achieve a heavenly situation in the next life. But even this result, which is only achieved by perfect performance of fruity results, rituals, will be vanquished by time. Now hear of this. Hare Krishna. So in this chapter entitled The Nature of Fruity Activity, Krishna is in the beginning, he is explaining that how the any endeavors in this material world which is aimed at sense gratification, it is very futile. And inevitably it will be destroyed by the power of time. You know, in the beginning itself he was telling that without any personal desire one should be fixed in one's own occupational service, Varnashram. You know, he was encouraging people to take the path of Varnashrama system so that person can gradually progress into the devotional service. Then he says the importance of accepting a guru. Without a guru, it is difficult for a person to practice. Right? The reason why you need a guru means you need the proper knowledge to eradicate this, the deep-rooted desire for the sense gratifications. And after, you know, then he says that under the shelter of a spiritual master, one can actually focus on what is his real self-interest. In this material world, people are confused between actually what is the real self-interest. They are thinking that maybe the sense gratification like that. So that is then after the 14th verse onwards, Krishna is explaining the other aspect of that. He says that even though this philosophy is there, that is the Vedantic philosophy, where one's ultimate objective or the ultimate goal of life is to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, still people think that, that is not the goal. Like, And he says even in the very second verse itself that sarvarambhahi viparyaya means those people, those who are the aim is only sense gratification, their all endeavors will be thrashed by the material nature, by the grinding wheel of the time. But slowly, but steadily, it will be grinded. Then in the 14th verse, he explains, he is refuting actually the famous Karma Mimamsa philosophy of Jaimini from 14th onwards, almost till the end. That we can actually relate that how the present scenario in this material world, like, you know, the contemporary situation, is actually a sort of Karma Mimamsa philosophy only means. According to the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, means the ultimate goal of life is sense enjoyment. The soul is meant to be enjoy this material world. And for what is the means of that? Doing the ritualistic activities very perfectly. So actually Jaimini means this comes as a part of the Shats Darshanas, means, you know, in when you see the history of the philosophy, means they have divided major Hindu, and there are various options. There are more than six darshanas actually. Why only six darshanas? Some people ask that questions. But around somewhere 8th or 9th century, some of the philosophers has classified this into major six philosophies based on the Vedic text. Because there was prevalence of, you know, Buddhism, Jainism, which was against the Vedic text. It's against the Vedic principles. So even they proposes the Shat Darshanas based on their views also. But mainly when we discuss Shat Darshana, is based on which is the Astika philosophies, which are based on the Vedic text, which is Nyaya, Vaisheshika, then Sankhya, Yoga, Karma Mimamsa, and then Uttara Mimamsa, which is the Vedanta Sutra. Means, actually, they say that they are actually in a pair. Means, Nyaya sets the definitions and principles how we can study the matter. You know, it's set for the methodology by which we study it. And then in Vaisheshika, and they uses that principles to see that this material, the matter, it goes up to the atom level. They break down, the atom is the basic level of the material world. And they say that it is, the Vaisheshika is like something like a applied Nyaya. So Nyaya and Vaisheshika goes together most of the time. Then it further goes to Sankhya, where from the atom it is taken one step further to distinguish between matter and spirit. That it is Naiti philosophy means. And then its counterpart is the yoga. By following the yogic postures, we can realize that spirit which is within. So then the Sankhya and yoga also termed as a pair. That then comes the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which is attributed to Jaimini, which take the Karmakanda section of the Vedic scriptures. So we can always see that there are in the Vedic scriptures are the Lord is very merciful that he has given all range of solutions for the people. That there are always people who are completely blinded by the materialic propensities of sense enjoyment. They cannot take to spiritual activities immediately. So this Karma Kanda activities given in the Shastra is to accommodate such people that at least still they still work within the purview of Shastra. So they, for them the definition of Dharma is duty. And you do, so Karma Mimamsa philosophy says that it is regulating actually. It's rather than going in a wild way that you do anything, somehow get sense gratifications. Get money and enjoyment, artha and kama. So Karmakanda activities, their goal is basically to get artha and kama. There is no question of moksha or anything. That itself is their moksha in that way. So in the Karma Mimamsa, they say, at least if you want to pursue that path, take shelter of the Vedic scriptures. There are various rituals has been prescribed, you know, in which we can actually get this artha and kama in a dharmic way, means in a human way, rather than going by the other ways, you know, which is guided by the greed, envy, and all those things. So and then in response to that karma mimamsa, then there comes the Vedanta philosophy, which is Vyasadeva is the compiler of that. Then all the philosophy like Advaita, Vishishta Advaita, Dvaita, and all the sampradayas, all the Ajindya Bheda, all those things comes under the part of the Vedanta, which is basically based on the Upanishadic conclusions of the Vedic scriptures, which is basically the jnana aspect of the Vedas. So we can see that in Bhagavad Gita also, all these philosophies to at various places Krishna, especially in the second chapter, if you study, you can see that Krishna touches upon all these philosophies, maybe even in a small level, that all those things are comes into picture there. Especially from 30 or 31st to 38 verses, second chapter, you know, Krishna is telling Arjuna, means you can, you know, what is that? Hatova prapsase swargam jittova bhokshase shubhas. It's like, even if you fail, you will go to a swarga and enjoy. And even if win, anyway you are going to enjoy this material world. So he is trying to sell that idea of karmakanda activity, karmakanda kanda philosophy to the Arjuna there. But then suddenly he changes the topic, means saying that it is not the best. Then the next verse he says, Sukudukke same kritva labha labhav jaya jayo. That is the first time he is bringing the concept of papa. Naivam papam avapsyasi. Then he is getting to the other section of Buddhi Yoga in the second chapter. So we can see that when Bhagavad Gita also, even in the Buddhi Yoga section, Krishna, after that Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, he tells that only a less intelligent people goes for this type of karmakanda activities. He says of Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadanti Pantitaha Veda Vadrada Partha Nanya Asti Idi Vadinaha. Means he compares that the Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, those who are very intelligent, those who are taken, that again in the 11th canto only, that Navayogandra section, King Nimi and Navayogandra discussion, they say that Yajne Sankirtane Prayai Yajantihi Sumedhasaha. Those who are intelligent people, they can only take to the process of devotional service. And when you take to the process of devotional service, you are very determined. They are only one focused intelligent. There is no need to go here and there. But on the other hand, when you have so much of materialistic desires, you will be multi-branch. Your intelligence will be divided amongst so many things. Because for each activity, there is different demigods to get satisfied. So many pujas, so many things like that. So he says, Yamimam Pushpitam Vacham Pravatanti Pandit. So there is that they are getting attracted by the flowery words of the Vedic scriptures. They get attracted by the flower itself. They don't get they go up to the fruit. And many times these flowers are very poisonous. And they say that Nanya Asti Na Anya Asti Idi Vadinaha. There is no other path. They are very strong about that. Then Kamatmana Swargapara Janma Karma Phalaprata Kriya Vishesha Bahulam Bhoga Ishurya Gatim Prati. Means Kamatmana Swargapara, means with an aim of enjoying in the Swarga, they do so much of ritualistic activities. Kriya Vishesha Bahula. Vishesha Bahula means lot of effort they take, lot of elaborate rituals have been performed. What? For what? Janma Karma Phala Prada, means based on that karma, that what Krishna is saying here, that in the next life you will get a birth in the heavenly planets. So Janma Karma Phala Prada Kriya Vishesha Bahulam Janma Karma Kriya Vishesha Bahulam Bhoga Aishwarya Gatim Pratin. The only aim is to get the Bhoga and Aishwarya, means Artha and Kama. That is the only aim of those people. Then Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Pakrita Chetasam Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadhauna Vidhiyate. For such a person, the intelligence to resolute intelligence to dedicate oneself to the path of devotional service will never arise. Yes. And we can see in our contemporary world itself is, it's very difficult for the people to take to devotional service. Means, there the routine is, you know, it is fixed. That, and even we can see the, actually in Karma Kanda, if you see, like, that explains that even every day you get up, you take, you know, you take bath, then you take breakfast. The only objective is go to the job. Means you have to reach by 10 o'clock or you have to catch 8:55 local train. That is the way presently sister, the atheistic people work. Means there. So when it comes to Karmakanda, it adds a flavor of little ritualism to that. Means even you are taking bath is a ritual. You know, there are certain things like, you know, process has been given. Like even honoring your bhoga. You know, it is like offering yajna to the fire, the cosmic fire, you know, Vaishvanara inside the stomach. Means, so they convert all these activities, even though in a completely atheistic way, means there is nothing, their only enjoyment is the goal. There is nothing to do with the Vedic ritual system. So they take into the fold of the Vedic system, that those people also, that okay, you do these basic things, that at least offer some water to Tulsi. Means we can see that people, you know, in this nearby buildings also, even they have multi-story building, some people still offer water to the sun god in the morning. But it goes to somebody else's head below, that don't bother. Means through the window, open the window and pour the water. Means. So they are still addicted to those, you know, at least they are part of the Vedic life. Means, you know. So there, the emphasis that, and that is actually the beauty of the bhakti, means. And when you practice bhakti, when you study bhakti properly, we can see that how difficult that these other processes to follow, means. Even the karma, jnana, even a slightest mistake, the entire result is gone. You know, even if you do a yajna, you know, so in eighth canto, Bali Maharaj, first time, after Bali Maharaj has been sent to Sutala planets, Lord Vamandeva asks Sukracharya, means, where does your disciple go wrong? What happened to him? Why did he lost everything? Then he says, Mantradas Tantradas Chidram Desha Kalarha Vastudaha Sarvam Karodhi Nishchidram Anusankirtanam Tava. Means, even mantra, even if there is a mistake in mantra or tantra, Desha, Kala, Arha, Vastu, means all those things, even if there is a mistake, all this can be waved off if they are taking to the principles of Harinama Sankirtan. Means. The famous example we can see that in this regard is the Yajna by Toshta. It comes in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavadam, where Indra, it once happened that Indra was sitting in, like, you know, the assembly hall, enjoying some musical performance. And the Brihaspati, his spiritual master, enters the hall. Somehow, due to, means, infatuated by the opulences, you know, he forgot to properly acknowledge the entry of his spiritual master. So Brihaspati, noticing that he is so much infatuated by these material opulences, he actually withdrew from there, means without making any noise or anything, he just quietly gone from there. Means. Then suddenly Indra comes to his senses and understands, you know, what, my God, what have I done? Means, I offended my spiritual master. So he immediately repent for that and try to find Brihaspati to beg forgiveness. But Brihaspati completely disappeared from the Sorgulog. Means actually we can see that even in Bhagavatam there is enough stories. Even if you go to Sorga, things are not same what we expect. It is not so peaceful there. Constant anxiety is there. Right? Sometimes people, I was thinking when I was reading these sections, that people in villages think that tomorrow if I go to Bombay, my life will be peaceful. You know, people are somehow trying to come to Bombay in various ways. Means, no? Some people think, those who are in Bombay, they think that if I go to New York or Los Angeles, my life will be peaceful. But those who are already there, they are already suffering anxiety and everything. It's there. The same issues will be continuing in a different ways. Means. So Indra was trying to find Brihaspati and apologize, but he couldn't find. And then without having a spiritual master and being offended the spiritual master, the demigod's glory slowly goes down. And they have been taking advantage of the time, the demons attack and take away everything from the demigods. And then they approach Brahmaji, then Brahma says that, okay, you have offended Brihaspati, so you have to do the prayaschitta for that means. Then he says that Vishwarup, the son of Toshta, you can call him and he's a qualified person to do the performance of the penances and the ritual, other ritualistic activities. And he can bring back the glory to all the Aishwarya back to you. Then Vishwarupa comes back and he then makes that Narayan Kavacha and everything, and then Indra was reinstated as the king of the heavens. But again, the problem comes there that Vishwarup was actually, Toshta's wife was actually a daughter of a demon. She is coming from a demoniac lineage. So Vishwarup had a soft corner for the demon souls. So while doing the yagyas, he used to offer some part to the demons. So Indra one day he came to know about it and he became very angry and he immediately chopped off his head. So we can see that even after going there, even after having so much of material opulence and enjoyment, these basic instincts doesn't go means from the person. Means that only bhakti can uproot those things. So again he commits an aparath. He killed a brahmana. So when Toshta comes to know about it, then he became very angry and he wanted to take a revenge. He performs an yagya. The objective of that yagya was to get a person who will kill Indra. But again, the mantra pronunciation, he made a simple mistake. Means, Parapat Prabhupada says it, instead of Dirka, he pronounced it very hraswa, like that. So instead of somebody who is going to kill Indra, the meaning became somebody will be killed by Indra. Okay, so that was the personality Vritrasura came up from that. So Vishwachakri Thakur quote this example to show that how difficult in this, you know, especially in the Kali Yuga, means to have a proper, you know, the karmakandic rituals. Even a slightest mistake, the hegemon itself will be killed. Means everything will be finished. Similarly, we can see that means in Ramayana Kumbhakarna, so much of austerity is done, but there is a small, slight mistake in his asking the benediction. He got the opposite result. Like that. So, these pastimes were happening maybe in a higher, like, you know, in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga or something like that. But what to speak of the Kali Yuga, present day, means, where we don't have a proper pronunciation of the Sanskrit. So actually the Vedic scriptures, means especially the mantras and everything, they are based on actually on the pronunciation. Even if little bit here and there, you know, every day when you do the Purusha Sukta, Yajna and everything, you know, the letters may appear same. So even within the text, like even if you take Rig Veda or Samaveda, the text, the Devanagari alphabet may be the same. But then the intonation, that pronunciation, the swara may be different for each, even the same sukta. Like Purusha Sukta is there in all the Vedas, but their pronunciation differs from scriptures to scriptures, like depending on that. So much of importance is given to the pronunciation. So we can see that even, you know, how many people can do a pronunciation properly? It's what type of rituals we can perform that. Then Tantra. Tantra means the knowledge. You know, it's very difficult to find a person who has the proper knowledge of doing these nitty-gritties of the Vedic script, the rituals. Means, so many details are there. It's very hard to find a person like that. Then Tantra, then Desha. We need to find a proper place, a pure place. where we can do that sacrifice. You know, to find means, you know, even if you go to the dhams nowadays, you know, you can see that so much of bombardment is there, of material sense gratification is there, that it's very difficult to even sit there for some time and peacefully chant our rounds there. It's very difficult to rarely get a place. Even say suppose even if you get a pure place to do that, then the ingredients. In Kali Yuga it's very difficult to get a proper ingredient. You may get so much of ghee, but we don't know which type of ghee it is. Means whether it is cow ghee or buffalo ghee, and you may do the yagya very peacefully and you may get result may be something different. And Arha, the recipient. Even recipient is also important. Another story from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, King Nrka. Means he has done lot of charities. Means he has explained that there are you cannot count the charity he has given. It is something like the number of sands, you know, or the number of drops of water in the rain. Like that he has given so much of charity, but fortunately or unfortunately, one cow, when he has given to a brahmana, came back to his herd back, and without knowing that he has given again that to another brahmana, and everybody know the consequences. There was a fight, arguments, heated argument between both the brahmanas. They came to Nrka for settlement. In settlement, he told, okay, I will give you another 100,000 cows in return, in replacement of this. But they were not agreeing to that. Means they were saying that only, no, then one person says, even I don't need it. The another person also left, okay, I don't need your cow. And then when we, end of his life, when he went to Yamaraj, Yamaraj asked him, okay, what do you want to do? Means you want to take first your, bad deeds first, or you want to enjoy your pious gratitude? He was thinking, I have done so much of charity and everything, where does the question of papa comes? And he says, okay, I will take the papa credits first. Then he immediately become a lizard. Says that because of this offense, he became. So it is very difficult to find a proper person even, you know, to give a charity. So, means in short we can say that this type of yagyas, what is prescribing Krishna, that it is perfect execution of that yagya. It is very difficult. And even if you make a slight mistake, the result is gone. Not only the intended result will not happen, and you may get an adverse result in your life. So who will take that risk? Means why we should, and still we can see that people are doing so many other rituals and going for such penances and practices. So, Srimad Bhagavatam again says that Kaler dosha nite rajan asti hi eko mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanka param vrajayat. Means in this Kali Yuga there is lot of fault is there, means full of fault, means even the people are fault, material, time, place, everything is fault. Means only one thing is kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sanka param vrajayat. Only taking shelter of Krishna, holy name, and which is introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, means after seeing the pathetic condition of the conditioned souls in this Kali Yuga, it was, this is the only simple way, you just chant. So we can see that so Bhagavatam says that this basic cause of this material sense gratification. Means sometimes people do this, in sixth canto this verse comes then. Taistani aghani puyande tapodana vritadibhi. Means by giving tapa or doing tapa, dana and other vritas, you can get rid of these sinful activities or the sinful reactions to the sinful activities. But the root cause of the bija, the desire for the sense gratification, cannot be so easily overcome. It can only be destroyed by taking shelter of the process of devotional service. Means sthaisthani aghani bhoyante tapodana vridadibi tat na adharmajam tat hridayam na adharmajam, which is born out of the adharma. the desire for enjoyment, that can be, that is root, deep rooted in the hridaya, that can only be taken out by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Ishangri padaya means tadishangri sevaya, means only by taking doing the service at the lotus feet of the Lord we can do that. Even in the fourth canto also it comes, like in the discussion between Kumaras, Sanat Kumara and Prithumara, he says that yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karma shayam gridita mudgridayanti santaha tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo viruddha shrodha ganastam maranam bhajava sudevam karmashayam griditam udgridayanti santaha, means udgridayanti means it can be, the deep rooted the desire can be only been plucked out by taking shelter of the bhaja vasudeva, means only by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, means taking shelter of the devotional service, means tadvanna riktamadeva, means those who don't have that type of those who are not taking shelter of the devotional service, they will never able to pluck out the deep rooted desires. So unless and until we endeavor to take out the desires, you know, we will be again and again going in this cycle of this sense gratifications. It will, yesterday Avatar Lila Prabhu was telling that by properly hearing, we have to completely cut out the materialistic sense, sound vibrations. If you completely focus on the spiritual sound vibrations, slowly, slowly these materialistic propensities can be eradicated from our heart. So that is only sources. So by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our previous acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, we have been introduced to this easy process of chanting of the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama Hare. And we find it even difficult to follow that, means. You know, even in Sirshastam, the second prayers, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that there is no specific rule and regulation for this, means. You know, there is, even he has been given so much of liberty to practice this process of devotional service, still we find it very difficult to practice it. So it is only possible in the proper association of the devotees, the Sangha, that we can take to this chanting of the holy names. And various other additional auxiliary things also being given by the acharyas, that Ekadashi is, tomorrow is again Nirjala Ekadashi. And practicing all those things will help us come close to the path of devotional service, so that we are completely get rid of this materialistic disease. So in conclusion means, what Krishna, so in the next coming verses Krishna is telling what are the problems, even if you achieve a perfect delivery of the ritual, still there is suffering. Means it is not guaranteed, there is no guarantee that it will last long. He already mentioned about the death. Even if you are able to, you know, everybody is looking for a happy life in this material world. Even if by the providence, will of the providence, if a person is able to lead a happy life, still there is a death, which is again a problem for that person. So he is explaining in the next coming verses that it is, even if you go able to reach to the heavenly planets, still your problems are not been solved, because time is so powerful that it takes away everything. So he advises us, don't get into this futile endeavor. You know, in yesterday's verse, you know, it's like doing a agriculture thing, you know, farming, where there is no production of the grains or fruits. You keep on pouring water and putting manure and all those things. Finally, end of the day, there is no return. You know, it's a futile endeavor from our side. So, having obtained the golden opportunity to take to the path of devotional service, you know, without wasting much of time, if you focus on that, you know, we can also get rid of these deep-rooted desires from our heart. That is what Krishna is speaking about. And today is also the disappearance day of his Baladeva Vidya Bhushan. You know, and then appearance day of Ganga Mata Goswamini. And these devotees are exemplified in their personal life that how we can dedicate ourselves to the path of devotional service. Hence, like we'll try to speak something about both of them. So as far as Balda Vidyabhushan is concerned, means the exact details of his birth and year of birth and these things are not available. But still some people say that he born in Balasur, somewhere near to Ramuna, near to the Shirchur Gopinath temple, to a agriculture Vaishya family. That, and from the beginning, in the childhood itself, he was very, very much interested in his studies and very quickly picked up the Sanskrit grammar, Vyakaran, poetry and all those things. And then he had a strong desire to pursue further studies. And he left the home and started wandering from place to place, from the holy places, different holy places. And then finally, at some point of time, he reached somewhere, some people say that it is in Mysore or somewhere near that he reached a place where the Tattvavadis were staying. Tattvavadis, they are basically coming from the Madhava Sampradaya, Tattvavad. So he got attracted to the philosophy of that Tattvavada, and he stayed there, he studied the scriptures, he got familiarized completely in depth knowledge of that. And some say that he took even sannyas from the Tattvavadis, and some doesn't agree to that. So then after completing his studies there, completely understanding of the Tattvavada of Madhavacharya, he again started moving. He left that place, started moving from different places, and again finally he reaches Jagannath Puri. And in Jagannath Puri, while he stayed, during his stay there, he met one of the devotees of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he was a disciple of Rasikananda Prabhu. That's Radha Damodar Dev Goswami. So he happened to have a discussion with him about the devotional service, and during the discussions, Radha Damodar Dev Goswami was discussing with him the pastime which happened between Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya about all the Vedanta and all those things. So after hearing that, he started developing an interest in the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then he started discussing further with Radha Damodar Dev Goswami, and he finally took initiation from him. He accepted the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and took shelter of the Radha Damodar Dev Goswami. And he studied at the Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures there. And then Radha Damodar Goswami told him that for further studies, better you can go to Vrindavan and meet Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So in Vrindavan, he reached Vrindavan. When Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur got a new disciple, he was very happy with the erudite scholarship of the person and the very humble, menial servitor, service attitude. So under Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's guidance, he further studied Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and other Gaudiya Siddhantas in that. And then, after Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's disappearance, he became the prominent Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava in Vrindavan. And towards the end of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's life, when he was too old, so there was an incident which happened in Jaipur, which is actually attributed completely to the Balda Vidyabhushan, to his glories. That. So there was a sect of Ramanandis, Ramanandis means those who are the followers of the Ramanujacharya, Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. So they were, approached the king of Jaipur, Jai Singh or something, that he told that this Gaudiya, because Jai Singh was already initiated in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya and he was worshipping Govinda Dev and Gopinath in Jaipur very opulently in a royal way. And he told that there is no Shastric basis for the worship, what you are doing. This Sampradaya doesn't have any Shastric, is not a bona fide Sampradaya. And there is no Shastric reference of worshipping Srimati Radharani with Krishna. It is not approved by the Shastras. So when the Jai Singh heard these arguments or allegations, he immediately sent a messenger to Vrindavan. So he knows that in Vrindavan only the main our acharyas are staying. He sent it to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, kindly come and resolve this issue. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that I am unable to come because of my old age. You know. But however, he says that I am sending a competent person, he will do the needful. Then he sends Baladev Vidyabhushan to Jaipur. So when Baladev Vidyabhushan reaches Jaipur, and they have a heated argument between the Ramanandis and the Baladev Vidyabhushan in front of the Lord and the devotees and the king. But they couldn't convince, or they couldn't even raise even a small argument against Baladev Vidyabhushan's strong appeals. Means he was so strong, he was trained in by Madhava Tattvavad Sampradaya, so he was very deep in his understandings, so he could easily defeat them. But then finally they took the ultimate weapon, that if you are a proper bona fide Sampradaya, where is your Vedanta Sutra, the commentary on Vedanta Sutra? Means all the Sampradayas has their own commentary. Their acharyas has written a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. To accept you as a bona fide Sampradaya, you need it. Then Baladev Vidyabhushan told that our founder of our Sampradaya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted Srimad Bhagavatam as the natural commentary for the Vedanta Sutra. So therefore we never bothered to write any separate commentary other than that. But they were not accepting that. So then he told, okay, give me some time. So he took some time. So for the time being, the debate was stopped. Then he went to Govindji and he praised to him, means, what I will do, means they are, in a short time I have to compile a commentary for the Vedanta Sutra. So he was intensely praying to Govindji. Then in the night, Govindji appears in his dream and tells him that, don't worry, I will, you write the Bhashya, and I will be detecting that. So that is, then he, in a place known as Galta, so he sits there and writes the commentary. In a few days' time, the entire commentary was ready, which is known as Govinda Bhashya. And then, in a week's time, he comes back and informs Ramanandi that the commentary is ready. Even they were astonished to see that in such a short time, how can somebody write a commentary? So Govindeva already assured him, nobody will be able to find any fault in your commentary. Means, I will be personally dictating it to you. Means. So when the Ramanandis saw the commentary, they don't have any answer. So finally they accepted. So then he actually brought back the Gaudiya Siddhanta into the forefront. But we can see that the genuine the compassion of Baladev Vidyabhushan there, that even though that how meticulous the acharyas were in their dealings, that after got defeated by Baladev Vidyabhushan, these Ramanandis wanted to take initiation from Baladev Vidyabhushan. But then he told, no, I cannot do that. Because Sri Vaishnava, you are coming from a bona fide Sampradaya, and which is glorified for its servitorship, Dasya Seva to the Lord. Means, and how can I reinitiate you into my own tradition? It will be an offense to that Sampradaya. I cannot take that offense. Means. And he politely denied that. Whereas we can see that in modern time people are very eager to accept disciples. But here, even after properly defeating them, he given them, okay, you stay where in your Sampradaya, but do whatever the Sampradaya says. Then he is also attributed to this Pramaya Ratnavali, which connects actually between the Madhava Sampradaya and Gaudiya Sampradayas. That nine Pramayas. Pramaya means which is already been proved with sufficient evidences. You don't need to. Means when Vidyabhushan came here, he sang that sloka also. Srimadva Praha Vishnu Paradaram Akhilam Naya Vedyam. That beautiful verse. He quotes that Vishnu is the supreme truth. That, and all the Vedic literatures are supposed to be, the goal of all the Vedic literature is to know the Vishnu, and this Visham is Satyam, means this world is real, and there is Bhedam, there is difference between the Ishwara and the Jiva, the Bheda is Satyam. And like that, there are nine postulates put forward by Madhavacharya based on the Vedic scriptures. So he says that the same, he compares that and he says that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reiterates the same nine truths. He accepts that. And then in that book, the Prameya Ratnavali, he establishes that entire thing in detail. So, and he has written so many other commentaries, like many of us are aware about the Gita Bhushan, means his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. You know, if you read that, you can see that it is a totally different perspective he gives to that, our understanding. Right? So we are indebted to him for his contributions to our Gaudiya Sampradaya. And then another is Ganga Mata Goswamini. Today is the appearance of her. And it is said that she was born in actually a royal family, in a Zamindar family in the present day Bangladesh. And from very childhood, she also exhibited, you know, inordinate affection to the Lord. That she was so much attached to the Madan Gopal deity, and she was even scholarly in childhood itself. She also mastered the Sanskrit grammar, poetry, and studied deep into the Siddhanta while at very young age. So by seeing these characteristics, her parents got afraid that what she is going to do, and they wanted to get her married to some proper person and get settled. She told clearly that I am not going to marry anyone in this mortal body. Means, you know, you don't try to pressurize me. She was very determined in that. So seeing there is no, you know, point in pushing her for that, the parents didn't push her for that. She continued her devotion and studies of the scriptures, and when her parents passed away, she left the kingdom and went to various places for pilgrimage. And then finally she reached the Vrindavan Dham, where she met Haridas Pandit, who comes in the disciplic line of Gadadhar Pandit and Anantacharya, then Haridas Pandit place comes there. So Haridas Pandit, so she begged Haridas Pandit that please initiate me or accept me as your disciple. But knowing her background, coming from a wealthy royal family, he was very skeptical about her, whether she will be able to sustain a simple life like that. Actually, he tries to test him in various ways, but her determination was so in such that, you know, even that pleases Haridas Goswami, and he gives him the initiation and tells her that you go and stay with her aunt and god sister Lakshmi Priya in Radhakund, where they performed, they together stayed for some few years and performed different, you know, bhajans every day, doing the parikrama of Govardhan. And after few years, again Haridas Goswami, Harida calls here to tell that, you know, now it is time that you go to Jagannath Puri and take care of Sarvamama Bhattacharya's place. There is a Damodar Shila which he is to worship, that we need to take care of that. It is in a very pathetic condition. So she arrives in Jagannath Puri, and so she her name was actually Shachi Devi. So she is, when she reaches Jagannath Puri, she saw the condition of Sarvamama Bhattacharya's house. It was in a very dilapidated condition. You know? So she started preaching so that some contributions can be come, so that she can renovate and do the service what her guru has been given. And she took the vow that she will not go out of this Jagannath Puri. She took a Kshetra Sannyas. And her the Bhagavatam classes was very famous. So many people used to attend that. And even the king, at that time the king was Mukunda Dev, Odisha king was Mukunda Dev. It came to his ears also that, you know, this Sathvi is there and is giving nice Bhagavatam classes. Means even he came to attend that. And he was also got attracted by her classes. One day Jagannath comes to his dream and tells him that, you know, she is such a nice devotee, you should offer something next to the Shweta Ganga, at least some land so that she can, and without any anxiety, she can perform her bhajan. So next day, Mukunda Dev comes and, you know, appeals to Shachi Mata, Shachi Devi, that, you know, Lord appeared to me and told that, you know, we should give something to you. Right? Then she also accepts you know, some tract of land near the Shweta Ganga. And then another one miraculous pastime by which she got the name Ganga Mata is also described, that one day during this the Ganga Sagar Mela, that she also wanted to take a bath in Ganga. Her friends were, whoever is their devotee circle, they were all going for taking bath in the Ganga. So she also had a keen desire to go there, but then she thought that my services will be affected. I have already taken a Kshetrasannyas, how can I go? But she consoled herself, okay, my service is priority, I will do that. So in the night, Jagannath appears to her in the dream and tells her that, you don't worry, you take bath in this Shweta Ganga only. In the night you can take bath, you know, it will be as good as Ganga only. So that day night, she gets up and comes for taking bath in the Ganga. Suddenly, there was a current, you know, which is pulling her. And she could see her, the old friends, those who went to take bath, they are all taking bath and let off, you know, in a ghat, you know, when you go to Kumbh Mela, you can see that what is the noise there. I mean, so many people taking bath. So such a noise was listening. So actually that current pulled her inside the Jagannath temple to the lotus feet of Jagannath. And she was there actually. So the guard outside was hearing a lot of noise coming from inside the... He can hear the noise, but he don't know what is happening inside. So many people are talking, taking bath, like, you know, that noise, that type of noise was hearing. So he immediately informed the pandas, the pujaris, and the king also. So the pandas came, so they took the permission from the king, because it's the middle of the night to open the altar, again they need to take the permission. So the king also ordered, okay, open the door. So when they opened the door, they saw that Sati Devi was inside the altar. So nobody could figure out how she was inside. Then she explained that, whatever happened, she explained, the Jagannath told me to take bath there, I actually took bath there. Now you can go and verify my Gamcha, Lota and everything is there still in Shweta Ganga, it will be there. Some people went and verified it was there. But still, some of the people couldn't accept that. They told that she definitely came for some robbery. She wanted to steal something from the Jagannath. That's why she came inside. And according to some versions, the king put her in the prison. Then suddenly these pujaris and other people start getting diseases and everything. So they pleaded to Jagannath, what is the cause of this suffering? And Jagannath appeared to their dream and told her, you offended my devotee. She was innocent. You didn't believe what she told. So you go immediately and beg forgiveness from her. Then so the pujaris along with the king goes to Shweta, Sachi Devi, and beg forgiveness from her, that please forgive that, you know, we offended you, we questioned your integrity. You know, Jagannath actually came to our dream and told that you are not part of any thievery or any intention of that, actual fact. And after that incident, she got the name Ganga Mata Goswamini. And her mutt, the mutt is still known as Ganga Mata mutt. And even the king wanted to take initiation from her. And as a Guru Dakshina, then the king, the Ganga Mata Goswamini asked her, that, what, like, you know, I need, like, every day, two containers of prasad, mahaprasad. Means when the Rajbhog is offered to the Lord, some two containers of mahaprasad and some amount of money and some shawls. You know, all those things, please send it to my mutt. And that practice is still there. You know, her intention was to serve the devotees, so that she can serve the devotees with Jagannath's Mahaprasad and everything. And another pastime associated with her was that Rasik Rai, there is a deity in Ganga Mata Goswamini mutt, still there, it is there. So there was a Brahmin in Jaipur. Due to Seva Parat, you know, this deity was with him, and due to Seva Parat, he was suffering from many problems. So he was thinking what to do. Like, then one day Jagannath appears to him in the dream and tells that, okay, as a prayaschitta for your offenses, you take this deity and go and give it to Ganga Mata Goswamini in Puri. So this Brahmin comes all the way from Jaipur to Puri and meets Mataji and gives her the deity. So initially she refuses. She said, already so much of services are there, how am I going to take care of one more deity? But that Brahmin was insistent, but Mataji also insisted, he was not ready to accept it. Then finally the Brahmin hid that deity in the bushes of the Tulsi groves outside the mutt. So in the night, some say that in the night in the dream, Prasik Rai came and told that, I wanted you to worship me in a proper way. That's why I came all the way from there. And some mother says that when she was walking by the Tulsi garden, the Rasik Rai caught hold of her sari, and then she has to accept him like that. So there are various stories like that. So this is another wonderful devotee. And today is also Ganga Puja, means, and it's already 9:25. So with the prayers that to these are least to wonderful devotees, that we can also follow in their footsteps and sincerely practice our devotional service, that we can also get rid of this desire to enjoy in this material world, which is very deep rooted, and definitely by the blessings of the Vaishnavas and the previous Acharyas, it is possible. So with this, we will end the class. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna.